40 Olympic greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young. Welcome to a special Olympic edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with Olympic women's football. Sweden will play Germany in Friday's gold medal match at the Maracanã Stadium in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. The Swedish ladies advanced Tuesday when they scored a 4-3 penalty kick victory over host Brazil at Maracanã. The teams had battled to a goalless draw after 120 minutes of football. In the other semifinal, Germany defeated Canada 2-0, with Melanie Behringer scoring off a penalty kick in the 29th minute and Sarah Dobritz getting the second goal in the 59th minute. While the Germans have won two Women's World Cup trophies in 2003 and 2007, they've never won Olympic gold. However, they did win bronze medals at the 2000, 2004, and 2008 Olympics. The Swedish ladies, meanwhile, are also bidding for their first Olympic gold medal in women's football. Their best previous performance was reaching the quarterfinals at the 2008 and 2012 Olympics. In Olympic men's football, their semifinal action Wednesday in Rio and in Sao Paulo. In the first semifinal, Brazil is hosting Honduras at Maracanã. And in the second semifinal, Nigeria is playing Germany in Sao Paulo. The two winners will advance to Saturday's gold medal match at Maracanã. The Voice of America's Hessel Tobias is in Rio, and he joins us now on the Sunny Side of Sports. Sporty Olympic greetings, Hessel.
Thank you for having me, Sonny. It is always a pleasure to be in your show.
Welcome back, Hessel. Two big semifinal matches in Olympic men's football, Brazil versus Honduras and Nigeria against Germany. Who are you picking, Hessel?
Brazil has never won a soccer Olympic medal, and Honduras has never made it to the finals before, so we have all the ingredients ready to have a very exciting game. But at the end, I think Brazil is being led by his superstar, Neymar, and they are playing at home. In general, Brazil is a better team and has all the responsibility of winning. I think Neymar and his team will make it to the final. And on the other key, Germany against Nigeria, I have to say, Sonny, that for me, it's always hard to think that any team will beat Germany. The Europeans are always favorites, and to me, in this case, it is not different. So I think Germany is going to beat Nigeria, and they're going to make it to the final.
Hessel, I think the Rio organizers must be pleased with the attendance at the Olympic men's football matches. Can you comment on attendance at some of the other Olympic venues?
During the first week of the games here in Rio, Sonny, even for events that are in high demand, like U.S. basketball games, swimming finals, gymnastic, or even beach volleyball, stadiums have looked pretty empty. For less popular sports like weightlifting or rugby, attendance didn't even hit 50% of the seats. Before the games, the organizers announced that 84% of all tickets have been sold. But as we go on to the last week and drama is getting to some sports, we can see more people buying tickets and filling stadiums, especially now in soccer or futebol, how it's called here in Brazil. We saw a full stadium last Saturday when Brazil played against Colombia. And I'm sure that those more than 70,000 seats at the Maracanã Stadium will be filled with fans for tonight's game when locals, Brazil, the team led by Neymar, face Honduras, Sonny.
Hessel, one superstar Olympian who always attracts big crowds is Jamaican sprint sensation Usain Bolt. He won his third consecutive Olympic 100-meter title on Sunday night in Rio, and now he has his sights set on two more gold medals. Hessel, what are your expectations for the Lightning Bolt?
Let me tell you, Sonny, the expectations about Bolt are as big as they should be when we talk about the fastest man in the world. We have to keep in mind that Bolt is 29 years old now, and he was also hurt badly enough that he had to pull out of the Jamaican Olympic trials weeks before the games here in Rio. But last Sunday, when we finally see him back on the track, and even after seeing American Justin Gatlin pull ahead first, in just seconds was clear that Bolt will catch him and that he still is as explosive runner as he was in Beijing or even in London. Bolt makes things to look so easy, and at this level, I have little doubts that he will fail the 200 meters. We probably are going to see him taking the 3 gold medals he is competing for during these games, at least is what I think.
Thanks, Hassel. That's Voice of America reporter Hassel Tobias speaking with us from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil.
I'm Lightning Bolt. I'm not flash guarding anybody. My name is Lightning Bolt.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, broadcasting another Olympic edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Joining us once again from Rio is our friend Luis Piazzet. Sporty Olympic greetings, Luis.
Sporty Olympic greetings, Sonny. I will let Mario Andrada, the spokesman of Rio 2016 Games, open this report with an official announcement.
Former FIFA president and IOC member João Avelange has passed away this morning here in Rio de Janeiro at the age of 100. Avelange competed as a swimmer at the 1936 Olympic Games in Berlin and as a water polo player at the 1952 Olympic Games in Helsinki. He has also been the president of the Brazilian Sports Confederation, CBD, from 1956 to 1974. Our thoughts and prayers are with his family, and Brazilian flags will be kept a half mast today.
The Olympic Stadium in Jiangyang was named officially after João Avelange. While president of FIFA for 2 decades, he transformed soccer's governing body into a multi-billion dollar business and a hotbed for subsequent corruption that damaged its reputation up to date. In 2009, when Brazil won the privilege to host the Games, Mr. Avelange led off Rio's bid presentation to the IOC in Copenhagen by inviting the members to vote to, and I quote, "Join me in celebrating my 100th birthday at the 2016 Games in Brazil." Yesterday, the Olympic Games in Rio also registered in history other cases of death and life. At the medal sailing competition in the Guanabara Bay, among the other winners, the Argentine Santiago Lange with his partner Cecilia Carranza in the superfast NACRA 17 boat won gold for Argentina. Santiago has lost many things in his life, including his marriage, and has lived in a boat borrowed from a friend for 2 years. With 54 years old, he was in 5 Olympic Games before since 1988. Less than a year ago, Santiago lost one lung due to cancer. In Rio, he won gold, and perhaps his flood of tears on the podium meant a lot more than any other winner's tears in Rio. A miracle of a kind. And speaking about it, while the suspicious story told by the American swimmer Ryan Lochte allegedly being robbed in Rio, although being left by the robber with his cell phone and his gold medal, a true miracle took place also yesterday. The heart of the German slalom 35 years old coach Stefan Hans, who died in a car accident in Rio last Friday, was donated to a Brazilian lady who was on a waiting list for a year. But before she got a transplant done, Hans's heart made a true marathon throughout the city. Close to the same distance the Olympic men's marathon will be on the next Sunday. But not before the organizers replaced some metal fencing left from the women's marathon days ago and being robbed since then. First, Hans was taken to a Baja hospital right after the car accident. Then, for a specific cranial surgery, he was taken to Miguel Couto Hospital in downtown, the same hospital that recently had a cinematographic rescue of a drug lord with shooting between police and criminals. Sadly, Hans did not survive, leaving the entire German delegation in grief. His heart, then, was taken to the National Cardiology Institute, few blocks from the Christ Redeemer statue in Rio, where it was transplanted to a Brazilian woman. She is doing well, according to the surgeon's team. I am Luis Piazzi for the Sunny Side of Sports in Rio de Janeiro.
And Rokia, I want you to tell our Voice of America listeners and Facebook Live viewers, when did you first come to the United States?
Well, that was beginning of 80s, 1981, end of 81. And actually, I started in full swing right from there, from November 1981. And then, you know, Sunny, 82, I wondered that whether there is any regular sports program anywhere in VOA. And how about Bangla? And that's when, in March 1982, I started my sports world for Bangla Radio.
Okay.
That was the beginning.
Now, where are you originally from, Rokia?
I'm originally from Bangladesh, and I took the job. I applied for the job and came and joined VOA right away.
You were one of the first people I met when I came through the doors of the Voice of America way back in 1988. And that was an Olympic year, if I remember correctly.
Seoul
Olympics. Talk about your Olympic coverage so far for Rio 2016.
Well, I'm senior to you that way. You have made the Sunny Side of Sports popular and interesting. But let me tell you, in 1983, they were having the national games, U.S. National Olympic, in Colorado Springs, and we team off almost 15, 16 of language services reporters, and Jim Olson was the sports editor.
Right, Jim Olson.
We all, Mary Womack, we all went to Colorado Springs, and from there we started. And next year was Olympic year LA 1984, and that was the beginning.
So you were in LA back in
84.
Now that Olympics, interestingly, Rokia, some say it was the last profitable Olympics in modern times. Would you agree with that assessment?
That was because, you know, somehow LA was really, really prepared for it, and the corporations were pouring in money in the sports at that time in Olympic. They refurbished the Olympic Stadium in LA. Then it was happening in, something happens in America, you know how different it is from other countries. So it was really a big event, and at that time, President Reagan was there. He went and opened the Olympiad. And that was something, you know, we all had. Even VOA had 22 people covering the Olympic.
Wow. I don't think we have quite that many people in Rio, Rokia, but times change, right?
Times change. Even 96 Olympic, the 100 years of Olympics, we didn't have that many.
All right, I want you to tell our Voice of America listeners and viewers about a photo at my Facebook page. And on that note, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And I want to get my videographer, Bill Werkinger, see if he can swing around a little bit here. Swing around, Bill Werkinger, and take a look at this photo. And Rokia, why don't you tell our viewers and listeners about that photo?
Well, it's a beautiful picture with these little children all around me. You know, I visited a school which is funded by USAID and Bangladesh government And we were visiting this education program in Bangladesh and the hill tracts of Chittagong and outskirts of Chittagong. I think it's that was also a beach resort in Cox's Bazar. And all these kids, I went to their school and they were so enthusiastic. They were really, really, I mean, didn't imagine that the things we carried, books, pens, pencils, and toys, of course.
Goodies. Yeah, you brought the goodies.
Yeah, the goodie bag. So it was like Santa Claus, you know. And I was really amazed to see that these little kids were so enthusiastic. They were studying. They were going through the color books and coloring with color pencils, which they usually don't get. But you have seen the backdrop. All that they have sketched, they painted, they colored, and that was there.
Yeah, that's great. Did they give you any of their artwork when you were there?
Some of them I brought, yeah.
Yeah, that was really nice.
You can see those artworks, and some of them I brought it.
Well, I know there's lots of artwork in Rio taking place right now, Rokia, especially at the athletic level. Tell our VOA listeners about some of the highlights from the South Asia region.
You know, South Asia this year, I'm so disappointed. India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, till now, none have won medals. And the hopeful, the person for whom I feel the athletes, not the all of them, one woman from, you know, Bengali woman.
Okay.
She's from Tripura, Deepa Karmakar, and she went in gymnastics. And believe me, she trained, will you believe it, what I say? For gymnastics, how many months and years you train here in the U.S.? Tell me.
They train a lot. I know that.
A lot of hours. But this young girl, she trained only for 3 months.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that's how she went. Her parents, her government, and everybody helped. And she went. She came to Olympic. And she ended in the fourth position, Deepa Karmakar. It was unfortunate. Till the trial semifinal, she was one of the favorites. And it reminded me in 84, P.T. Usha, in 400 meters hurdles, she had the same fate. She was like one of the favorites from India, and she lost at that. She also was in the fourth position. So this is what happened with Deepa this time.
I think the lesson is practice makes perfect.
Yeah, and this time she said, you know, what I have achieved, Deepa said, in her words, that what I have achieved, I have done excellent, what I feel, and I don't regret. And next time in 4 years, I'll be back in Tokyo.
Well, that's great spirit, looking ahead to Tokyo. Looking back, Rokia, over your illustrious career here at the Voice of America, what have been some of your favorite Olympic moments that you can recall for our VOA listeners?
You know, the diving champion, Greg Louganis, in 84, he was in L.A. And obviously, he was the gold medalist. He was the world champion, national champion. And after his swim, I wish I could interview Michael Phelps. No, that's what I feel. What do you think?
So, I think he should do an interview with you, Rokia.
Yeah, I will. I'm thinking of it. And this time, I mean, in 84... just before his dive was, he was going to dive. He was practicing, Greg Louganis, and his coach was there. And somehow I entered that arena, the pool area, and he was coming out of the pool after practicing. And I said, can I have a few words from you? And he looked at me, hesitated a bit, and then he spoke. I had the comments from him. And at the end, I said, can you say something in Bangla? Can you greet my listeners? And that was the greatest moment. Here is the diving champion, the gold medalist.
He knew Bangla?
I told him.
Oh, you told
him. I said, greet him, give best wishes. And he said, what do I say? And I said in Bangla, that is the greetings, Shubhecha, and he repeated it. That was one of the best moments.
Wonderful story. I know Louganis, when he dove into that water, it was probably maybe a little clearer than the water in Rio. I heard the pool water is kind of greenish almost.
But till now, nothing happened.
That's true. That's true. So we do hope all the athletes returned from Rio healthy.
Safe and sound, yeah.
And, I mean, from a medal perspective, Rokia, the fact is most athletes there will not win medals. I mean, there's about 11,000.
Yeah.
But
course.
It's the spirit of competition
Olympic,
and the Olympic movement.
I mean,
and,
that's why people talk about they didn't win bronze, they didn't win gold. But it's just participating.
Mm.
That is the Olympic spirit. And even if you win, sometimes I say, oh, they have won bronze and they feel disheartened. No, gold is not the aim.
Now, you mentioned Michael Phelps. You mentioned Greg Louganis. Louganis now retired. Who are some of your favorite Olympic athletes outside of Phelps that are in Rio right now competing?
Well, Leander Paes is one of the tennis stars from India. He's there, still playing. Atlanta Olympic, he won in tennis. I think bronze or silver. One shooting from India who won gold medal in Beijing Olympics 2008, Abhinav Bindra. Because right after Beijing Olympic, I went to India and I saw his huge picture all over New Delhi. And this time he didn't fare so well, but he was the flag bearer of Indian team. And one man, you know, after 112 years, golf is Olympic.
Back in the Olympics.
And one of the golfers from Bangladesh, Siddiqur Rahman, on his own merit, he qualified for it.
Mm.
Unfortunately, he didn't fare so well. But he's there, and he was the flag bearer of Bangladesh, and at least one athlete from one sportsman, not only bearing the flag of this country, but the spirit of the country. So they are the one that I really looked forward. And I talked to some of the journalists there who are covering from Bangladesh, India, and they tell the same story.
You mentioned golf returning to the Olympics, Rokia. Another sport that has returned to the Olympic movement, rugby sevens. Rugby sevens. Great story from Rio. Fiji
yeah.
wins its first Olympic gold medal ever in rugby sevens. Your reaction?
Well, you know, however small the countries may be, sometimes it, you know, we don't even think about those countries, and we don't even, some of them don't even know that 200 some countries are participating. But that's their magic. Those are the magic moments of those countries. And when you see their success, they are shining with gold, and that's some amazing moment.
Magical moments, amazing moments. Will we see some amazing moments in cricket down the road in the Olympic movement? Cricket,
you know,
as an Olympic sport.
One thing I realized that cricket is spoiling the Olympic spirit in those countries, in India and Bangladesh and Pakistan. They have so much cricket craze in that part of the world, in South Asia, and particularly India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh, that they are not really investing in other sports. And sometimes I wish they would really, not only the government, even private sponsors, they would think about other sports so that they can come up Commonwealth Games, Olympic level. Some athletes, they really aspire to be in outside cricket.
Rokia, you mentioned how some Olympic athletes in Rio are already looking ahead to Tokyo 4 years from now.
Yeah.
What's the feeling in the South Asia region from a geographical perspective? Is there excitement about it being in Asia?
Being in Asia, they always welcome. And I think they're looking forward. Some of the youngest athletes, as I mentioned about the gymnast, Deepa Karmakar from Tripura, you know, Bengali woman, gymnast. So there are lots of them who are just the first time Olympians. They are looking forward, and Japan is closer to India, Bangladesh, and that side. And somehow they think that when they participate in Asia, it's easier for them. Maybe climate-wise, the grounds are similar.
Right.
Although it is not always like that. But they think that way, and I hope they look forward. And some of the, I don't know, what do you think about Michael Phelps? After 5 Olympic, is he returning to Tokyo?
I hope so. I hope he's back for more gold, although I don't know where he's going to put all those gold medals, Rokia.
This record, you know, will go down in history, and it is hard to break.
Rokia Haider, the chief of the Voice of America's Bangla service, longtime VOA Bangla sportswoman, Olympic spirit here in Studio 22 with Rokia. And that wraps up the August 17th Olympic edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producers Kwame Ofori, Bill Werkinger. Bill Werkinger, also the videographer this evening. Thanks also to VOA engineer Jonah Cummings. And thank you for tuning in.
Thanks.
I'm VOA Sonny Young. Say it, Rokia. Say that last line.
All the best and the best. Right?
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
At the mention of violent extremism, groups like Al-Qaeda and ISIL and regions like the Middle East usually come to mind. But according to Sarah Sewell, Undersecretary for Civilian Security, Democracy and Human Rights, violent extremism is on the rise in Africa, in East Africa, West Africa, the Sahel and the Maghreb. The terrorists often try to justify their depravity with religion.
Many violent extremists harness religious claims to cloak their depravity and to inspire and recruit followers. And sadly, acts of violence in the name of religion are as old as religion itself, and they persist in communities around the world, from so-called honor killings to wife burnings.
Lately, we are seeing a new, highly dangerous trend, said Undersecretary Sewell, the rise of organized, heavily armed, non-state actors that justify violence and territorial ambitions with religious ideologies. Groups including Al-Shabaab, Boko Haram, Al-Qaeda in the Maghreb, and the LRA, the Lord's Resistance Army, threaten Africa's every achievement and aspiration. For Africa's future and for global security, they must be defeated, said Undersecretary Sewell. Across the African continent, the United States trains and equips foreign militaries, shares intelligence, and supports police to improve border security. These are well-known elements of our counterterrorism approach in Africa. But we must also attend to the other part of the equation, preventing the next generation of threat from emerging. We do this through our Countering Violent Extremism Effort, or CVE. CVE stresses the importance of good governance and the engagement of civil society, particularly community and religious leaders, as well as strengthening ties between governments and the communities they serve. In the last 2 years, the U.S. government has helped lead a shift toward this more localized and preventative approach to violent extremism in Africa and around the world. At the global level, we are helping governments, international NGOs, and multilateral bodies establish counter-messaging centers, develop CVE strategies, engage civil society, and share best practices. The U.S. government has also helped establish networks of researchers, young people, and municipal leaders to support each other in the shared struggle against violent extremism. The damage wrought by violent extremists measures not only in the blood they spill, but the investments they deter, the textbooks they burn, the women and girls they enslave, the vast human potential they squander, said Undersecretary Sewell. This is a struggle for the future of countless communities across Africa.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Next on Straight Talk Africa, Shaka Sali has an exclusive interview with Linda Thomas-Greenfield, U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs, to discuss South Sudan, recent elections, and Boko Haram. Tune in to Straight Talk Africa Wednesday at 18:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Do you know the political process that determines who the next president of the United States will be? Tune in to VOA's extensive coverage of the campaigns, the voting, and the final tallying to find out how citizens choose their next president. Right here on VOA.
With your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, inviting you to join me
every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists, too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.